Morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, fj@offbeatoregon.com, your host for today's Offbeat Oregon History Podcast episode. Thanks for downloading, and I sure hope you enjoy it. Today we have part two of a two-part presentation of the origins of the Portland Trailblazers and of the extraordinary man who made it happen, Harry Glickman. Here we go. The Portland Trailblazers, in the summer of 1970, were nothing more than a gleam in the eye of the promoter who'd been banging the NBA in Portland drum for the previous 16 years, and it probably would have stayed that way, too, if not for a very long bathroom break taken in Beverly Hills that year. Here's how that came about. In 1967, Portland's sibling rival city, Seattle, nailed down an NBA franchise deal, the Seattle Supersonics. One imagines Glickman's frustration at hearing the news of that, and it seems to have set him into a redoubled effort to get Portland a seat at the NBA table. And in 1970, it looked like he had a chance. The NBA's expansion committee was meeting at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel in Beverly Hills, calling in all the markers and working all the angles. Glickman got them to add him to the agenda for a presentation urging them to let him add a Portland team. The NBA's expansion committee consisted of Abe Pollin of the Baltimore Bullets, later the Washington Wizards, Fred Zollner of the Detroit Pistons, Tommy Cousins of the Atlanta Hawks, and Carl Scheer, a representative of NBA Commissioner Walter Kennedy. Glickman leaped into action, got on the phone, called everyone he could think of who could arrange interim financing for the cash that would be needed to launch a team. After the team was launched, a public stock offering could cover the loan handily, but that would take much more time than Glickman had just now. He had gone through his phone list and was waiting for callbacks when the time came to jump on a plane and go plead Portland's case. So, hoping something would happen while he was in the air, he did so. Nothing happened, though, and Glickman found himself the next day in the super unenviable position of having to tell the committee that the interim financing was still up in the air. Committee members were visibly dismayed at this. By this time, they all knew Harry Glickman, if not personally, then by reputation. And to know Glickman was to be his friend. He was that kind of personality. Nobody wanted to tell him no. Plus, they were all impressed with the work he had done, and they believed him when he assured them that he would line up the financing in short order. His word was bankable. They all knew that. So one of the members, Tommy Cousins of the Atlanta Hawks, who Glickman had actually never met in person until now, promptly offered to pony up $250,000 if Glickman could find funds to match it from his Portland people. That would get him over the hump, and they could say yes to him. Could he do that? This offer kept the deal alive for another 24 hours or so, which would turn out to be critically important.
"It's superfluous to say that I fell in love with Cousins in exactly 5 seconds," Glickman wrote in his 1978 memoir.
Glickman promised to give it his level best. And then, as quickly as courtesy allowed, he got himself back to his hotel room and got on the phone. No dice. Nobody seemed to have the lettuce. So close, and yet. But just as Glickman was thinking Portland's bid was as good as dead, plucked, and roasted fork tender, the phone rang again. Suddenly, everything was changed. The IPO was now a no-go. Big fish with deep pockets had stepped up. New Jersey real estate developer Bob Schmertz had jumped aboard, along with Seattle businessman Herman Sarkowski, and they wanted to finance the franchise privately in partnership with Beverly Hills real estate developer Larry Weinberg. And they had $750,000 ready to go.
"I went back to the room and said, 'Hey guys, time out, there's a new deal,'" Glickman recalled later in his memoir. "I explained that we were now going to have a privately financed company."
The committee members were no doubt relieved to hear this. Pollin told Glickman to get a letter of credit ready and present the whole thing to a meeting of all the league's owners scheduled for noon the following day. Glickman got on the phone to Sarkowski, who told him he'd have his banker in Tacoma get in touch the next morning. Glickman can't have felt too comfortable with this. Bankers didn't start work until 10 a.m., which would give him very little time to get the documentation he needed and get back to the Bev for that noon deadline. So next morning, 10 a.m. on the dot, he called the bank. He was referred to a banker named Hugh Darling at the bank's sister institution in Los Angeles.
"I called Darling," Glickman said. He had never heard of me, Sarkowski, the NBA, or anything. He called Tacoma, called me back, and said yes, he would handle my problem. So a few minutes after 10 a.m., Glickman was on his way to downtown L.A. to pick up this letter. He got lost on the way. By the time Glickman found his way to the bank branch, it was already 11:15, and it was a half-hour drive back to the hotel, even if he didn't get lost again. He raced into the bank and found Darling yelling into the telephone, having a heated discussion with someone.
He waved me to a chair where I sat biting my nails for about 10 minutes, Glickman recalled. When he finished, he started asking me questions about Portland and the NBA.
Without being too offensive, Glickman managed to redirect Darling's attention back to the letter, which was just on the verge of being too late. Darling dictated the letter to his secretary, who brought it over for him to sign. Alas, there was a typo on it. He told her to take it away and retype it.
I said, don't bother with that, just initial it and give me the damn letter, Glickman said, which he did.
Racing to the parking lot, Glickman leaped into his car and started running every red light and blowing through every stop sign between downtown L.A. and the Beverly Wilshire. When he got there, it was 12:05 p.m., and when he burst into the room, he found that Paulin, the Baltimore Bullets owner, was in the bathroom. Paulin, as Glickman put it in his memoir,
told me he had been worried about my lateness, so he'd asked for a recess while he went to the John. He remained there until I arrived with my letter.
The NBA representatives took the information and told Glickman to come back at 3 p.m. When they did, he was told that congratulations, Portland was now officially an NBA city. The rest of the story of the Portland Trail Blazers, including how they got their name, which is arguably the best team name in professional sports, and their progress from nothing to the NBA World Championship in 1977, that's all a story for another day. Key sources in this two-part presentation included Promoter Ain't a Dirty Word, a book by Harry Glickman from 1978, Timber Press, Give Me the Damn Letter, an article published in Citadel of the Spirit, Sesquicentennial Anthology, edited by Matt Love, published in 2009 by Nestucca Spit Press. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Offbeat Oregon, by the way, is a division of Pulplit Productions, a boutique publishing house about which more can be learned at pulp-lit.com. In addition to Offbeat Oregon books, podcasts, and audiobooks, we also publish book and audiobook versions of collections of what you might call street literature. 1920s pulp magazine writers like H.P. Lovecraft and Edgar Rice Burroughs, gothic penny dreadful titles like Sweeney Todd and The Adventures of Highwayman Dick Turpin, all straight shots of bottled-in bond working man's fiction and working women's fiction from the last couple of centuries. If that sounds like your jam, I'd love to have you check them out. That is pulp-lit.com. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.